Hello and welcome to episode 563 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 LEC / LTA Split 2 Playoffs Week 1 review. This episode is lovingly entitled Game 4 Fearless Must Be Frickin' Nice. I'm your host, Kangas, and I'm joined by two esteemed co-hosts. Up first, we have fresh out of the can, it's Badger.
This is where I would say something witty and wonderful, but unfortunately I didn't come prepared today, so this is my filler.
If this is the energy you bring into the episode, strap
have
in.
Fun. Yeah, we're in for a banger.
No, always.
I'm so happy. Hey, surely huh? There it's bringing the same energy as, you know, LTA game fours, but
true.
Wait.
You know, non-existent. True. Also, don't call me Shirley. Also, joining us once again, we have donning. Okay, so you're not Mr. Mazel PL, but you're like Mazel. You're LPL Juniorani. It's Yanni. We got Yanni on the cast as well. I'm workshopping it. We'll figure out something.
I was trying to think of it off the top of my head too.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to do the Yanni Laurel thing, you could have been like Laurel LPL or something like that, you know, to kind of like play on that. But it's still not perfect. It's kind of hard to make it work with Yanni. But what can work is this episode with Yanni.
Covering the Chinani. No, that just sounds like inappropriate.
That sounds like that might get me kicked off the broadcast, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that has a meaning, but it definitely sounds like it would have a meaning in certain circles. Anyway, Yanni, thank you for being on here with us. Just the three of us today, but that's all that we need to talk about the league action this past weekend. There was a couple of duds, let's be honest, but there were some cool things to talk about specifically over in the LEC. I want to get ahead of it right now. A lot of people probably already noticed from last weekend, I misread the schedule, and there are actually three games a weekend for LEC up until the finals weekend, so they will be ending 1 week before LTA North. So just quick little update, it's not the exact schedule. I was wrong, I thought it was, so there's one series that we didn't do predictions for, but we'll definitely talk about it on this week's episode. But before that, let's get around the world and get caught up on news happening everywhere. Let's get the LPL update this time from Yanni, who's also a member of the LPL Unofficial English Broadcast.
Hell yeah, brother. All right, so we had some qualification matches for the playoffs.
Okay.
Because of the way the format worked, the top four teams, that was Top Esports, BLG, Anyone's Legend, and JDG, were automatically seeded into the bracket stage, and then the top two teams from Group Nirvana and the rest of the teams from Group Ascend played each other in qualification matches. We have finished all four qualification matches, and we have our winners and our losers. So in the first qualification match that I covered, Invictus Gaming defeated EDG 3-0. I applaud EDG for showing some fight in game one and game two, but by game three, that series honestly could have just been an email.
EDG was from the Group Nirvana.
They were
right?
From Group Nirvana. Yes, they were the. So this was the David versus Goliath matchup, right? It was the fifth seed out of Ascend.
No upset is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, fifth seed out of Ascend versus second seed from Nirvana. I mean, IG was the only non-top four team to get double-digit wins in the regular season. And Rookie just got MVP all three games. He played out of his mind. Qualification match two was FPX versus NIP. NIP notably having Doinbee in the mid lane. And FPX in a 5-game series took it 3-2. And what's really important about that is the losers end up in Group Nirvana. I'm sorry, the losers end up in Group Nirvana for split three. So Doinbee is now in Group Nirvana. Which is a big shock, to be honest.
Didn't he have like a pretty good start to the split?
He did. So in split one, he was the MVP for split one. Like, dude was playing out of his mind, but once the meta turned over and there was no more lane swaps, it wasn't working because you know, he's not the strongest individual laner, and his side laning is not really great at times. You know, it's not all on him. Aki has been pretty poor. Their AD carry leave. They put the game on his shoulders, and it feels like every game he's so close to carrying, and he just mispositions, and that ends the game. Mm-hmm. So NIP down into the doldrums. Tough. In our third match, we had Team WE versus LGD, LGD being the number one seed out of Group Nirvana, and Team WE won that match 3-1. Nothing really too crazy to talk about there. Monkey, Taeyun, and Vampire are really, really turned up this split and have been really fantastic players for Team WWE. And then our final match, which is one that we thought wasn't going to be close, but then thought it could have been close. Weibo Gaming, who, for the roster that they have just been on the weirdest slide in the world, versus Thunder Talk. And Weibo 3-0 Thunder Talk, thankfully. We thought for a minute that they might not.
That's
no, titties out?
Yeah, titties out, unfortunately.
Damn.
Titties, actually, titties out.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. It's fine.
That's okay. So Weibo gets to move on. Not really too much to talk about there. However, the teams did select the teams that they're facing off against, the top four teams they get to pick. Top Esports elected to pick FPX when most people thought that they would probably pick, you know, Team WE, because FPX has been a scrappy team that has taken some games off, but Top Esports not afraid of that. Then Anyone's Legend elected to pick Team WE. JDG got to pick Weibo Gaming, and then BLG was left over with IG. So BLG, IG, definitely going to be the matchup to watch coming up. That is going to be...
And, yeah, what day is that?
On Saturday the 31st, it'll be the second match of the day.
Yeah,
so we're doing BO5s.
Wait, by Saturday, is that going to be in like morning, like past Saturday midnight morning. On Saturday?
Yes, yeah, Saturday morning.
Okay, so for anybody like
if you're East Coast, Saturday
that's going to be like 4 a.m. or yes. something, maybe 6 a.m. for West Coast.
Yeah, so East Coast is expected 2 a.m., 5 a.m. start times, but these are best of fives, so I highly doubt they're going to be 2 a.m. into 5 a.m.
It's maybe probably that first be 2 matchup into like 6:30.
Yeah, maybe that first matchup. Top Esports is far and away better than FPX. But that last matchup, BLG versus IG, you're not going to want to miss that one. That one is a certified banger.
All right. Well, make sure to check that out, everybody. If you can't watch it live, I know it's tough. At least catch the VODs afterwards or the highlights at the very least.
Yeah.
Please. Thank you for that, though, Yanni, for the LPL breakdown. Badger, what's happening over in the LCK? Because this is another region now obviously expected to do very well at MSI, and we're starting to see some of the teams that should be front runners to represent these regions.
Well, we thought we were, and then Hanwha is 1-3 in their last four series, and the only team they beat is DNF, who should just do not finish the season at this point.
No, so, is that what their name stands for, do not finish?
Well, it's the DN Freaks, formerly the Afrika Freaks, and then, so... Currently, I'll just run down
Yanni
the table.
For not making that joke again. Let's go, Yanni. Yes.
I tried so hard. Mm-hmm.
Freaking it or something like that. Okay. Gen.G played Hanwha on the day after and won 2-1. So Gen.G has now secured the number one seed going into the playoff bracket. So all they need to do is win one of two best of fives that they could potentially play, and they will be at MSI. So
nice.
They are 16-0. They have a 32-4 game score. They have a plus 28 on the season, and you know, of course, a 16 series win streak. Second place right now is Hanwha, who is 12-4. Which this gets very interesting at this point because T1 is 11-5 right now, and as we're recording, Hanwha Life and T1 play in exactly 7.5 hours.
Ooh.
So if T1 wins that, that puts the pressure on Hanwha to beat the FearX. I mean, I think they'll be all right. And T1 plays the Noodle Boys of Nongshim. So they're going to be in a little bit rougher spot.
Wait, so where are we in the LCK then? Are we not in their playoff bracket?
We are in the last week. So the last week of games starts tonight into tomorrow. And it runs through Sunday. And then playoffs will start after that. And it's just gauntlet playoffs. So it'll take pretty much just a week and a half to get through.
Does that mean that like LC or T1, if they can beat HLE, then they will take second seed and then
have a chance. They will have the game score on them. They will most likely. I'm actually. It'll be close. It just depends on how the other series for both teams play out at this point. But just running through the table, I mean, we have the six playoff teams locked. It's the six that you expect. Genji's currently sitting first. Hanwha's sitting second with T1 sitting in third. And both those teams play each other at this point. Both are guaranteed top three locks. So even if whoever loses that series will probably end up being the gauntlet boss and will just have, you know, a couple, just two series, I believe it is, to get into MSI. Wow. I'll have to take a look at the bracket here in a second as I run through the rest of the standings. So Nongshim, KT, and Damwon are all locked for playoffs as well. Nongshim is fourth, KT is fifth, Damwon is sixth right now, and they're 9-7, 9-7, and 8-8 respectively. So there's a chance that any of those teams could finish well above their standings, including Damwon playing Nongshim on the last day in the last series. So that could potentially be a big one for them, as they would be, you know, potentially moving up in the bracket, especially considering KT Rolster has to play Gen G this week, and something tells me Gen G is not going to want to drop a series. So
if Gen G can pull it off, I mean, that's a big story from LCK still, is that they just have yet to drop a series. If they do at the very end, that'd be so sad, man.
Yeah, like, Gen G plays KT Rolster and the corpse that is the OK Savings Bank Breon Bro Freak. Whatever. They have the longest name in esports.
That is a very long name, yeah. I just
okay, savings
bro.
Bank.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, okay, bro is the basically the name of the team.
We have so. Okay, bro, and DNF.
Yeah,
DN Freaks okay, bro, and DNF. In the same league. Yep. That's crazy.
So the way it works out is Gen G will play whoever C2 is. Winner of that qualifies to MSI. And the loser of that goes into a second qualification match and becomes the gauntlet boss. So, and then third seed will be, you know, so it's five and six play each other. Winner plays four, winner plays three, winner plays whoever loses the match between Gen G and second place. So
okay.
It's going to be very interesting. It starts on the 7th, ends the 15th. So in an 8-day stretch, there is a chance that one team, if they run from 5th, 6th, all the way up to the top, will play four best of fives in like 7 days.
Yeah, so. I mean, I feel like that always happens in LCK. And LPL, we've had that too. It's just like, I was seeing this like a breakdown of percentage. This was the LTA stats guy Leo. He's been on the broadcast a couple, or on the podcast a couple of times. He put out like a tweet breaking down the percentage of total possible games that a league could play, and then the order of like who has the highest percentage of their possible games played. I think LCK was in first, and then LTA as a whole was second. Most of that, I
there
think
have been a lot of T1s
south.
In LCK this split. So.
Yeah, but then the crazy thing is LTA was all combined into one, but when you looked at the number of games total possibly played in LTA North, it was under 100. And when you looked at the total possible for LCK, it was like 330 or something. LPL was over 400, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It
LPL
was
so many
crazy.
Games.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah, we're gonna get throttled at MSI pretty much no matter what happens.
Yes,
that's gonna be nuts. Absolutely. With that said, look forward to that, everybody. But thank you for the update for what's going on in LCK as well as LPL. We'll keep our eyes on that because it's going to give us a better idea of kind of who the competition is going into MSI. At some point, we'll do like an LCP catch-up, but that one's much harder to follow, and we don't have anybody on the broadcast who's like or podcast who's kind of dedicated towards that. So we'll do something closer to MSI. A couple roster pieces of news happened. It is off-season for a couple of teams in the leagues now. Up first, DSG has been making moves this past week. Scary Jerry has been benched as of recording today. They said that he's still going to be like actively helping the team and streaming, but that it makes me think that obviously they're not going to have him start. They're going to be looking for AD carry options. But the bigger thing is that they have officially dropped and parted ways with Abadaga. The mid laner is out of there. Goodbye, Felix. He had a good run in NA back in his prime. Then he had a rough split into a really good split in the LEC when he made it to finals with SK. And then, you know, Casey Blue wasn't doing it for him. He took some time off and came here and did not look good in NA. So we'll see if Abadaga is able to bounce back in his career, or maybe this is it. You never know. I mean, if you had that bad of a performance in a region theoretically as like weak perception wise as LTA North, I could imagine LEC teams not being enthused or looking to pick him up. But another, a more sad one, Yanni, you just told me about this one earlier today. I didn't even know this news.
I did.
Vitality made a change.
They did. They dropped Niski. The single split support experiment has ended. They're going to bring in Fleshy to replace him. Fleshy was a guy who played in NA.
Fleshy played League of Legends. I tell you that much.
Yeah, he certainly did. He played
good
in
old Immortals alumni. Immortals.
Yep, back in early 2023. Didn't really get too much of a fair shake, but since then has kind of bounced around various EMEA rosters. Supermassive. He was on KC Blue for the entirety of 2024. Was on Vitality's B team at the end of 2024 into 2025. So he's going to get a shot to try and fix Vitality's issues.
All right. We'll see if it works for him. Obviously, they were disappointed they weren't able to make playoffs. I still felt that Niski was good. I was actually excited for his development, but, I mean, maybe he wasn't happy with the role swap. I don't know too much behind it or if there's more to the story, but I would not be surprised if it turned out to something like, nah, he wants to play mid lane for a team, so Vitality needed to make the change. But again, well, if more information comes out for that, we'll share with everybody. That's it that we have for roster updates for right now. If we missed anything, a reminder to let us know in the community Discord. You can find a link in the description wherever you are listening, as well as shout out to members of the community in the fantasy. We have our own little rundown community fantasy, and we still have a top three podium of Apollo, Pacific, and myself. But Apollo and Pacific, taken much more ground than I am in recent weekends. Apollo's up to 957, Pacific's at 951. I'm at 913, and I'm about to be overtaken as well. So we might have a new podium going into next weekend, but shout out to everybody who has been actively participating in that, and also everybody who supports the podcast. You can do so through the Patreon or the merch shop. Both of those links are in the description as well. Whew. All right, there we go. We got through global news. We got through the community plugs. Now let's talk about League of Legends. The reason everybody is here tuning into the podcast. We're going to kick things off in North America for the LTA North because, honestly, we can get through this one pretty fast. This was two best of five series this past weekend. Neither one of them went past three games. Oh my god. Badger, talk to me about the matchups. Who played who this past weekend? And then kick us off with that first series, how things looked.
So this weekend we had Shopify Rebellion versus FlyQuest and Cloud9 versus Team Liquid. And oh wait, shit, the C9 TL series just ended. Oh fuck. That was quick.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
You didn't even have time to like cook a pizza.
I didn't even have time to like cook up a proper like introduction to it. Yeah. Like C9 just ended it. Like they just walked up and up smashed them. Like
meanwhile,
what the fuck?
Meanwhile, we're not sure if the FlyQuest Shopify Rebellion one has actually ended yet.
I was going to say it,
true.
They actually had to move Shopify and FlyQuest to the to Freak's Basement to finish those games because they were going on so long and C9TL yep. needed to start their series.
And that's the wild thing, is that the FlyQuest Shopify 3-0 was way closer than the C9TL, which is not what I expected. So I'll start off with the FlyQuest Shopify 1, because Shopify, man, did they just lose two games of League of Legends. there was a joke that Jet made on broadcast when we did our prediction segment, where he predicted everyone did FlyQuest 3-0, he did Shopify 0-3. Classic comedy, I know, I love it. But that actually was the most accurate prediction, because Shopify should have won game two, could have won game three. They lost both of those games. B-Voy in particular having an egregious game three on the Zaya, autoing a blast cone at the final Elder fight setup and then just dies in the pit and then the game's just over. It's like, what the fuck was that, dude? Like, Just a completely unforced error. But otherwise, Shopify did push them pretty hard. And I will say, I think, again, shout out to like players like Contracts, players like Fudge, who really have been stepping up as the split has gone on to show that they still have it, even if Palafox is really struggling, B-Boy is really struggling too.
Shout out QSS.
Okay. Yes. Two QSSs were purchased into a Mordekaiser. You cannot QSS Mordekaiser Ultimate. And did either of you catch the Naaman interview? Did you see it?
Yes.
No, I
did.
I didn't watch it.
The interview, but I did watch the I did look at the transcription that I believe Arsh usually does over on AMA.
So do you want to educate us all on the reasoning behind it from Shopify?
Oh my god, brother. It is real bad.
Yeah.
Let me actually go pull it up.
They didn't know.
They just didn't know.
I think it was Seos that was being interviewed, if I remember correctly. Whoever it was basically defending the team, thinking like, wait, no, they said it did. Like, because Arsh asked directly, shout out Arsh from Naaman. He's been doing great interviews over on their kind of publication. And he was just like, you know, the QSS does not work on Mortal, right? He was like, no, I'm pretty sure it does. And yeah, they were like, no, so it doesn't work like that. They changed it a while ago. And the player was like, oh, well, like, Palafox called it. It was like, hey, yep, like, don't forget to pick this up.
I pulled it up for the exact question and answer.
Okay, so give us the quote.
This is talking to Seos. Question, why did B-Boy and Palafox buy QSS? It doesn't work on Mortal. Seos, I think QSS works, right? On Mordekaiser, it does. No, it doesn't. They changed it a while ago. Really? I think it works. Are you sure? It doesn't. Everyone was talking about it. Oh, so we're trolling. I didn't know, to be honest. Probably Christian and B-Boy didn't know either, because I remember one time Fudge said, Christian, Mordekaiser has ult, and Christian said, I'm fine, I have QSS. So I think he probably thinks that it works. And he probably loses the 1v1, to be honest. I didn't know that, so Christian and B-Boy probably did not know.
That is so funny, dude. League of Legends is such a deep game that that can't happen. But also, from what I hear, I mean, again, like, you never want to spread rumors too much, but like, it doesn't surprise me that they wouldn't like have known that.
Dude, I'm still crying over this. I'm fine. I have QSS.
I'm fine. I have QSS. yeah. So that was rough. Other than that, though, I still think Shopify gave a better look than we expected. I definitely thought this was going to be a more one-sided 3-0. But shout out to Inspired for popping off. Masu as well got player of the series. He had a really, really solid Lucian game at the end. He was playing that line, dude. He was playing like old double lift where he's just like frontline Lucian. And Bwipo as well, one of the more like disgusting Renekton games that I've seen in a while in the North. So
420 CS.
Yeah, he was like 8,000 gold ahead of Fudge at one point.
It was crazy.
Like, individual gold. and it wasn't even like at the end of the game, like the final push. It was like, no, this is still like, we're still playing League. And Fudge just has to try and hold a Croc in the side lane with that big of a gold lead. so yeah, that was FlyQuest Shopify C9TL. Badger, you care to tell me what the fuck happened to TL, man? Oh my god.
So, you know, we thought we were going into this and we thought there was going to be, you know, this great series. TL looked great leading into it. C9 is a perennial powerhouse. Like, oh, maybe there's a chance that C9 can come in and this will make it interesting. And then C9 just kind of ran them over. Like, the C9 Kia just ran over the Carlos team at this point. And TL pedestrians versus C9 Kia. Car beats pedestrian every single time. They had Yuji in for game one and game two. And Spawn said, I think in an interview with you before the game, actually, that no matter what the plan was, they were going to put Umpty in from game three onward. I don't know if that was just because, well, like, comfort zone kind of thing or something like that. But
so
like,
I, in the moment, I never know, like, okay, is this just a coach live on broadcast protecting their player? But I did ask Inspired because he was on the desk as a guest for the day. And I asked him, I was like, is that true? Like in scrims, do they just like play UG and then umpty for game three? And he was like, oh yeah, they actually do that a lot. So it was true that they in scrims they do that. And so no surprise that they would do it on stage. But also UG definitely seemed a little lost in the mid and late game of games one and two.
Yeah, he did look lost in those games. So definitely first playoff experience against a team that's, you know, against the one of the greatest North American junglers that we've ever seen. Like, yep. Definitely was not a good circumstance for him to be in at that point. Like, hey, good luck, buddy. Just like kind of going into it. They tried to set him up in the game two with like the Galio and the RE dive comp with it. And it just, TL just didn't have any answers to what C9 was doing this weekend, and it was kind of a swift 3-0. It's the actual sweep of a 3-0 compared to the barn burner that was a 3-0 of the Shopify FlyQuest series.
I still never want to see Impact on Yorick. God, get him the fuck off that team. He does not know how to play.
That's definitely not
champion.
An Impact champion.
And also Impact and Core. This was another series. Core's had a couple of elderly moments. I'm going to start calling them that, dude.
You're
elderly
right.
Moments where you're just like putting a ward down in a place that a support has no business being. And usually he's not that type of support. That's like one of his best strengths, is that he doesn't die in dumb situations. He'll die like protecting his team or going for an engage or something like that, but like he doesn't make these silly mistakes. But I feel like, I don't know if it's him or if it's Impact is sucking him into the side lane to just die with him, but there were like two moments that Impact and Core just died together and it cost him the game.
I think that's what it is. I think you're right, by the way. And you know, I think it might be time to take Impact out back, man. Like,
it's
particularly difficult to watch him play. Like, I love Team Liquid. It is particularly difficult to watch this man play right now.
You know, he's I'll tell you right now, he was not on my ballot for top or for like all pro out of top. Yeah.
I certainly hope not.
Yeah.
I was gonna say I don't think he deserves to be in from at least on mine. So if I had one.
I think the
biggest
problem...
And he's the reigning MVP from last year. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
I think the biggest problem is outside of Sion, we're really in the occasional Ornn, we're really in a carry top meta. And Impact, you know, back in the day, could play these carry tops, but he shifted his playstyle a lot to be more of a help the team kind of player. And he sacrifices too much. He will give away too much and not play for himself and not play selfishly, where he needs to, like, hey, I'm going to play selfishly. I'm going to get my gold leads. I'm going to spike on items. And then I'm going to turn the big team fight at the end of the game because I'm strong. And it's just not something that he's really, you know, been doing when he's given the opportunity. And I mean, in this series, he really wasn't given too much of an opportunity, right? You know, he's playing Sion, which is totally fine, totally valid. Sion's fantastic right now. Really definitely a Impact champion. And then he plays Galio. It's like, okay, you're really putting the ball in UG's hands here. And by the way, I mean, this team composition, I fear, didn't really ever work because you've got the Galio to support the Xin Zhao, right? But you don't have the carries to be able to help deal the damage when Xin Zhao is strong, right? Like, Ari does a fine amount of damage, sure, but I mean, it takes forever for Smolder to get online. Like, you know, a different early game carry or any carry that has more damage in the early game would have been better. So I think that's a more of a comp issue than an Impact issue. But then again, as you said, game three, it was the Yorick, and yikes, man. I mean, he got that nice solo kill on Thanatos early, and it's like,
then
oh, man.
Threw it away.
Daddy Impact is back, and then Thanatos just busted the door open and said, Daddy's home. Because he sunned Impact this entire series.
And it made like a recommendation for series to watch. Obviously, there were only two, but it made it really tough. I think the only like game that's even worth going back to watch this weekend is FlyQuest Shopify Game 2. I think that one was pretty good. Again, it's frustrating to see Shopify throw it, and FlyQuest winning the longest historic 3-0 in NA history is kind of funny, but other than that, like, kind of dud games this past weekend, so rough to see. Unless you're a C9 fan, I suppose, then watch that series, because you can just watch your team doogie all over Team Liquid.
Yeah, enjoy that.
Yeah. But that brings us into this next weekend, because Team Liquid's going into the lower bracket along with Shopify Rebellion, but the way that the bracket worked out is in Team Liquid's favor. Team Liquid get Dignitas in the lower bracket. Shopify Rebellion get 100 Thieves. So we have the rematch of Shopify 100 Thieves. This was kind of a surprise that 100 Thieves got even knocked down here to begin with, and now they get a chance to take revenge. And I think 100 Thieves is also much happier to have Shopify than Team Liquid, because this could have been a very early exit for 100 Thieves in the lower bracket as well. Let's go over predictions. Team Liquid versus Dignitas kick things off. We all believe in Team Liquid 3-0, and none of us really think that Dignitas has what it takes. I imagine this can be a pretty swift 3-0 as well. Maybe Dignitas take a game if Shaden gets like a comfort pick and can get ahead of like Yuji or Umpty, either one. But I expect to see Yuji and Umpty. I think that's going to be the expectation going forward, is that both will play in series. And then Shopify Rebellion versus 100 Thieves. We're all in agreement here as well. Here's what I'll say. I have 100 Thieves 3-0 alongside Yanni. Badger has 100 Thieves 3-1. I know it's probably crazy to think Shopify just beat them last best of three. Why are we all thinking 100 Thieves? I'm curious if either of you agree with me. This is my reasoning. This is either 100 Thieves 3-0 or it's a Shopify 3-1. I think if 100 Thieves win this, it's going to be swift. But if it goes long, Shopify might actually have better drafting to take out 100 Thieves and deeper champ pools for key carries. And that could be a weakness for 100 Thieves in a best of five. Do either of you agree with that statement, or do you think that it is more one-sided for 100 Thieves? Because I don't think it's going to be like a heavily one-sided 3-0. I could imagine Shopify winning this.
I'm with you. I'm actually with you.
I think there's a chance.
Okay.
Especially after how they looked against FlyQuest. And I mean, generally speaking, when you look that good against the best team in the region, you have a chance to beat anybody.
Mm-hmm. Inspires some confidence, too.
Yeah, yeah. And 100 Thieves, the way they play League is a very fun way to watch League, is they fight for every fucking thing on the map. They will never see a fight they don't want to take, and that is a very swingy play style. That can get you a 3-0 if you're rolling hot that day, but it can also be really bad in the series, especially as team comps get worse and worse. And I think that Golden Glue has not been drafting particularly well. I've seen a lot of 100 Thieves drafts lacking in the best of three. Best of fives are going to be even harder. So, it's a very unconfident 3-0 for 100 Thieves. I think they're the better team, but if they win the series, that's how I see it going. Okay, there we go. That is it for LTA North. That was very fast because, again, it's, you know, two series to react to, two to preview. Now let's hop across the pond. It's not going to be that much more for LEC, but it is a little more. LEC had their first weekend of playoffs as well. And again, I said this at the top of the episode, we missed one in our predictions, but we will cover it. We had kicking things off Fnatic versus G2, then KC versus McCoy, and then we also had the winners of those matches play each other on Monday here in the States. It was Memorial Day, so another reason why I just didn't think games are happening. But turns out, did anyone know Europe doesn't celebrate Memorial Day that Americans celebrate? That's kind of crazy, right?
That is not crazy at all to me.
That doesn't surprise me.
All right, well, let's try and make conversation, guys. Anyway, G2 happened. El Clasico to kick things off in playoffs. And Yanni, I want to hear your thoughts on this one first, because my thoughts are, outside of game one, just disappointment from Fnatic.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the G2 solo laners were insane this series.
Yup.
Like, Oscar and Humanoid were just getting sunned by them the entire time, right? Except for, you know, except for that first game, right? Like, obviously, I know you said outside that first game. I mean, you know, credit to them. They were making really good early plays. I give a lot of credit to Razork for the entire series. Actually, I was pretty okay for a large majority of the series. But, I mean, it was tough. Broken Blade was just winning every single side lane fight. I mean, this dude is just putting up numbers.
And you know, like the meme of TSM and like Spica's sleeping his own team with Lilia Old. I was getting vibes of that with Mickey's engages as well. Like, god damn it, nobody followed up on fucking the engages, dude. Like, Fnatic was just afraid to walk in every time. And it made things very, very tough when it came time for team fights. Like, it wasn't for lack of trying. Like, Fnatic were set up at Barons. They were set up at Dragons. But anytime Mickey found the flank, found the big engage, like, Humanoid and Upset would just get stun locked and then not do anything. Yeah.
Game three was crazy, though. Yeah. Game three
did get a little wild, sure.
Yeah, game three was definitely wild, right? Because Fnatic were in, like, a favorable position, right? They were, like, up 4K. They were winning all these fights. But then G2, because they have Poppy, they just get to take Baron, right? Because you just get to, you know, you get to bonk Razork out, right? And just be like, okay, well, that's cool. Fnatic are like still advantaged at that time, though, and they have like river control at this dragon fight. And yeah, Broken Blade comes in with the Counter-Strike, and then Zonya's to just make sure he does not die. We layer the CC super well. He stuns three people. Then we throw the Annie on the Tippers on top of it. You prevent the soul from going to Fnatic. And then Broken Blade and Caps were just doing side lane things. And then on the backside, Han Sama wins a 2v1 while Fnatic is trying to back to allow Broken Blade and Caps just push to end the game. I mean, like, that game three was absolute cinema. It was a really enjoyable game to watch, but that it really felt like that once Fnatic lost that game, even though, yeah, you're down 2-1 and you only need one more to lose to be done in the series, it really felt like they were done after that.
Yeah. It was not the Fnatic I expected to see versus G2. Also, I think G2 really performed better than we had seen so far in the regular season. Like,
playoff Fnatic, G2, baby.
G2's hitting their stride right now, and they're looking scary. We'll talk about them again later, because obviously they went on to the match it played on Monday. But to determine who they were playing in that match, we had KC versus McCoy. And Badger, out of all the series that happened this weekend, where would you rank this one compared to the others?
KC, McCoy, I mean, it's got to be this series and then like two tier breaks and then every other series that doesn't order doesn't matter. Just watch this one. Like,
this is the only one that we can recommend.
This is this genuinely the only series that you need to watch from the weekend.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we got JoJo popping off. We got JoJo not understanding what the fuck Aurora does as a champion.
I was about to say, you get both ends of the JoJo Pion spectrum of just like, oh, hey, JoJo's popping off. Hey, wait, you're walking way too close to Aurora. Oh no. Yep.
We also got Kalist getting overconfident again. I think that this is something that's going to plague a lot of young players, but Kalist especially, just because from what I see, I don't know much about him as a person, but I know that like any criticism towards players on KC is met with lethal rebuttals from the community and the KC fans. So I wonder if Kalist is getting the right type of feedback. I hope he is. I don't know what that coaching staff looks like, but he has shown the tendency to go too aggressive and go for too hot of plays.
The funniest thing in that game too, bro, is the Baron fight at 25 minutes. He's hitting the Baron and the KC like goes in, so he starts moving over. He pops the BLG emote, gets in melee range of Pantheon, stun, and dies. I just laughing my ass off, bro. He pops the BLG and says, alright, I'm gonna go win this fight, and then just takes two hops right into melee range and they just instantly lose the fight, and then Koi gets the Baron, and then immediately afterward just goes into the mid lane and starts hopping at them. It gets flashed Pantheon stunned again, and it's like, dude, what are we doing? That one wasn't as funny as the BLG one, the popping the BLG emote. Like, I had to pause and go back. I'm like, this man did not just pop the emote, hop twice, and just die.
Oh my god, classic. Again, generational player, generational highlight plays as well as some low light plays. I still have faith in Koi, for KC in the lower bracket, but they did lose this series. McCoy did it, dude. they were able to clutch it out. And I think, I mean, again, we saw the positives and negatives as well of JoJo. He had a couple of really clutch moments, and he showed that he is able to play things like the Rise in clutch moments as well, which had historically in NA been a tough champion for him in his pool. So I think it's cool to see the growth of him as well, and everyone else on Koi. I know Merwin had a couple of rough moments in the series, but I think he brought it back at the end as well. So, yeah, shout out to M. Koi, dude. Somehow they pulled it off. And yeah. I didn't have faith. This ruined my LEC predictions. We didn't predict the third series. I would have gotten that one wrong.
Same.
Because I would have had KC taking it, and they didn't win. Fnatic didn't win. I was 0-3 on predictions from the weekend for LEC.
Can you really give yourself 0-3, though?
I can, because I know what I would have predicted for the one that I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but you just get a DNP, did not predict.
You know what? Actually, I like that a little more. It won't affect my percentage at the end of the split. Yeah. But that does lead into the final game that just happened on a Monday. That was the winner of each series, so G2 versus M. Koi. And Yanni, as exciting as the previous series was, how did this one stack up in your eyes?
So honestly, gameplay-wise, I mean, it was like pretty solid, right? You know, G2 took a 3-1 series victory. You know, JoJo struggled at times. But what was really awesome was not only this fourth game where we get Broken Blade Swain top and we get Han Sama's Draven, we also get LeBrov on Blitzcrank, right? Mm-hmm. And LeBrov hook champions this weekend, absolutely insane.
He played
Pike? I think he played Pike as well, right?
I don't think...
Or was that... KC the play. That somebody was, played Pike this weekend.
No, that was Pike, that was Targamas ended up playing Pike.
There we go.
In the last game of the Koi KC series. But in the earlier series, even versus Fnatic, I mean, LeBrov single-handedly won like game two with his hooks. He did the same thing in like game one, was just so nasty with them on that Nautilus. You really have to wonder if you're gonna keep letting this guy get this champion, right? It was absolutely horrific to try to deal with. And we got an Eluia Ivern in game two, and Skumond was running over this game early. But what's really crazy is that, like, this game ended up just being so close when it looked like G2, it was all them, right? They get the Ocean Soul, and it's like, okay, well, Koi's team comp can't really beat that, right? And then they hang on, and they steal Elder to keep the game alive, and they take Baron, and then they get in river position for second Elder, and Skumon just properly marks JoJo, kills him instantly. He's playing Nefiri. I think JoJo was playing Azir that game. And then, like, it fell apart from that. But you know what? Respect for them fighting back in game three, because the game was really, really slow until 30 minutes. Koi just engage, win a fight, and then take the Baron and get their Mountain Soul. But that game four was really not close.
Yeah, it felt Swain, like, ooh, are we getting the reverse sweep? And then,
Han Sama Draven cashed out at 13 minutes with 2 kills, and he got an extra, like, 700 gold for cashing out. Yeah, you knew that game was just over from there.
Mm-hmm. That was, I mean, you're right that the beginning of the series, a little more entertaining, a little closer, but ended on a bit of a whimper, unless you're a G2 fan, in which case you're very happy with how that ended, because G2 now solidify themselves not only a finals appearance for the LEC, which, oh God, G2 in the finals again, who would have guessed, also they lock in a spot at MSI, because top two teams from LEC will make it. So shout out to G2.
Yeah.
Again, showing that
first
they can
team to qualify for MSI, technically.
Shout
first
out, yeah.
First team, yes, true. Good point.
Shout out MSI
Isn't this
favorites,
like the third
G2.
Year in a row where they were the first ones to qualify for MSI?
Based on LEC format, I think that might be correct, yeah.
I swear, it feels like they are the first team to qualify for MSI every year since, COVID year.
They like almost always make it through the upper bracket, and LEC always happens before LCS historically, because they would happen, you know, a couple hours ahead of us. So yeah, I think that actually does make sense that they should, if they're always dominating the upper bracket. I know that, you know, last split aside, but that wasn't MSI, so but yeah, G2's in the finals. M. Koi will be the lower bracket finals, awaiting 4 teams that play this coming weekend. And then Koi will actually Sorry. Coy will not play this weekend. Yeah. Coy doesn't play this weekend. They're going to be playing finals weekend. So we have our two of the three finals weekend teams already decided. Sorry, again, the format, man, it really messes with me the way Leaguepedia lays it out. But the three series ahead of us this coming weekend start off with Fnatic versus GX on Saturday. Then we have KC versus Team Heretics on Sunday, and then the winner of those previous series on Monday again. We all believe in Fnatic taking it over GX. We all believe in KC taking it over Team Heretics. I'm the only one that even gives a single game to one of the teams that loses. I think the GX can capitalize on Fnatic and some of the weaknesses that they have shown in their team fight setups and lack of ability to follow through. So that's that. Again, EU is like a top four, and then
everyone else
is really struggling. I would be very surprised if there was an upset this weekend. But if there were, okay, let's play a fun game. If there were an upset, who do you think it's likely to be? Yanni, let's hear from you, then Badger, then I'll go.
I definitely think it's Gynex. That would be the most likely to upset Fnatic.
Fair enough.
Mostly because...
I'm inclined to agree.
I think they just simply have a better roster, right?
And Fnatic also sometimes just throw.
Are we calling... Yeah. Is Shopify beating 100 Thieves... Could that be considered part of the upset? I mean, I know we talked about NA already.
Technically, they're the higher seed, so...
I mean, that would be an upset. That would absolutely be an upset. If Shopify beat 100 Thieves,
We considered it an upset that they beat them last time, then yes, it should still be an upset if they beat them this time.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah, I think that one actually is the most likely to produce an upset at this point.
I agree.
Yeah, but I was talking about EU, and anyway,
I know that's the problem. Is I don't think either series, and I don't think there's going to be any upsets this weekend. Let's be honest. Like
the only upset that's going to happen is the fact that either KC or Fnatic are going to be eliminated. The only upset that's happening is that he's going home
after the next series, because there's one other one to talk about, KC versus Fnatic. You like that segue? Hey.
Presumably KC versus Fnatic.
Presumably KC Fnatic. That's what all of us are predicting. We all have KC taking it, but we think that this one's going to be much closer. I think understandably, I have KC 3-2. Yanni agrees. Badger has KC 3-1. Any big brain reason, Badger, why you think it's like a little less close?
Not really. Gonna be honest. I just think that Fnatic will squeak a game out. I mean, Fnatic was like the 2 seed going into this, like, or were they? No, they were the 1 seed, weren't they?
No, they were 2 seed. KC was 1 seed at 8-1.
That's Fnatic right. Two seed versus 1 seed. You just never know. I mean, these were the two best teams going into the playoffs, and now they're potentially duking it out in third place. Like, it just feels weird.
I will say, I think that as a JoJo fan, I want Fnatic to win this series, because I think MCOY have a much better matchup versus Fnatic than they do KC, but I don't think that Fnatic necessarily
I have a question, and that might be crazy, because I don't know where the rule book is. How did KC end up playing against KOI in the upper bracket? Did they pick their opponent?
Because, they did, yes.
I thought, because I'm like, dude, there's no way 1v3 and 2v4 happened without them getting to pick their opponent.
Understandably, they did not want G2 as their opponent.
Smart move by KC. No offense to KOI. You know, KOI obviously a very strong team. And, you know, they got the job done. You know, I don't think there was a wrong selection for your opponent, to be honest. I think that you could have probably picked anybody. And you know, there would be positives and negatives to it.
But maybe they're wishing they had picked G2, because KC did lose to KOI.
They might have gotten smacked by G2.
Yeah, you never know. but probably. Either way, though, that is it for LEC. That's what happened last week, and that's our expectations for this coming weekend. If you agree, if you disagree with any of our takes from LTA North or LEC, make sure to join the community Discord and let us know in there. Get in on the conversation. Let us know how you think things are going to shake out this coming weekend. Maybe GX makes the run, baby. Maybe this is GX's time. They can do it. Just take down Fnatic. Just take down KC. Frickin' Yzma is the GOAT, you know? You never should have been dropped.
For Yzma, MSI MVP incoming.
True. It could be. It could be. We could live in that world. unlikely, but
yeah, if I have to see Giant possible. X when I go to MSI this year, I'm gonna kind of be sad. No offense to Giant X, but I want to see one of these top four teams.
Yes, 100%. Well, we'll at least get G2. So we one more of the top four.
Oh, true. Yeah. My bad. I already forgot about that.
But with that said, top four teams, but Yanni, if you could recommend anybody leave a number of star reviews, probably a number above four, I would guess. Do you have a number in mind of how many stars they should leave us on the review?
Well, the good news is when you go to leave stars, if you want to leave above a four, you can't leave it a 4.1 on most platforms. The only thing you can do is go higher, all the way, whole hog. So let me think. 4, 5 stars, baby. Let's do it.
If you could leave a whole hog 5 for us, wherever you can leave a review, greatly appreciate it. Helps us get noticed, helps us grow the podcast as best we can. Of course, we do this for everybody who listens along in the community. Thank you so much for joining me, to Badger and Yanni, and thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in.
I got one shout-out.
Again. Oh, yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Shout-out Collegiate League of Legends Finals this Saturday, May 31st, 9 a.m. Eastern. I'm not an official part. 9 a.m. Eastern. Yeah. I'm not an official part of the broadcast, so I can laugh at that. But you should still watch because it's going to be an awesome powerhouse matchup between Maryville University. If you don't know, Yuji was recently on that team versus Ole Miss. Ole Miss has been a very lovable.
Ole Miss
team.
Made it to finals.
Ole Miss made it to finals, baby.
Dude,
I'm so happy.
Crazy.
I'm so proud of those guys. I'm excited to get absolutely shit faced with Collimer and Raleigh.
Dude, that sounds awesome. I wish I could join you, but have a fun.
You
with
got
that.
Better.
Thank you for the shout
you,
out. Everybody, go check out Collegiate League of Legends if you want to. But a reminder again, everybody who tuned in, that regardless if you watch CeeLo, regardless of even if you watch LTR or LEC, the fact that you are hearing us give this address now means that we love you. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.
Oh, yes, Daddy.
Oh, yes, Daddy.